words of my mouth and meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. I have to admit, to start off the sermon, maybe to end it, I love the verse 1 in A Song of God's Mercy. When I remember this, I have half hope. By God's kindness, we are not destroyed, for God's mercies are never ending and are new every morning. And I just, you know, to think of that, what a comfort, you know, for all of us when we're down in the dumps or don't feel well or just have some stresses and strains or all sorts of worries. God's mercies never end, and they're new every morning. I have to admit, I love that. Anyway, I'm going to keep it short. The gospel is basically about two people. Jairus, who was a leader in the synagogue. He was educated. He was wealthy. Of course, he had position. He was the leader, one of the leaders of the synagogue. And he was a man. And that was it. That was the best you could do at that point. The other was a woman. She had an illness, and for the Jews back then, that particular illness, she was unclean. So she was worse than a woman. She was an unclean woman, not able to go to synagogue, not able to worship with everyone, because she had bleeding, she had hemorrhaging. The other thing is, she was poor. She had nothing because she spent all of her money trying to be healed, you know, trying to get better. And it didn't happen for her for years and years and years. But the thing that they had in common was they had faith in Jesus Christ. That's what they had in common. So we learned that the woman heard that Jesus was coming. And let me go back. First, they did talk about Jairus. He wanted to go to Jesus and wanted to, he actually begged him, please come and heal my daughter. And that was the first part of it. But then we have another story in between the beginning and the end of Jairus. So, here we have the woman. She knows he's coming through town and she sees the crowd and somehow she has enough guts to get up close to him and then touch his garment. She could have been killed for doing that. But she had faith in Jesus and said to herself, if I just can touch his cloak, that's all she wanted to do. And she did. And what happens? She can even feel the healing that she had through Jesus Christ. And her disease, her hemorrhaging, is stopped. And then what fractures me is they're walking along and then Jesus stops. And he's like, well, who touched me? I can't imagine what the crowd thought or what the apostles really thought. They probably looked at him like he was nuts. What do you mean, who touched you? You have tons of people touching you. What do you mean? But he felt it. He knew that he had healed her. And so what happened? She could have run. But she not only had faith, but she was honest and wanted to go to him and tell him what she had done, which she thought it was something bad, which obviously it wasn't. And so what does he say to her? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. What can you imagine, you know, just being there, seeing that happen, you know, like from afar? I say to myself sometimes when I get to heaven, I want God to replay a few things. Because can you just imagine, you know, how she felt and then how he's teaching the people that were around him all the time. This woman is important, is what he was telling them. This woman deserves my healing as much as anyone else. That's what the lesson is. And plus, faith heals. So then, during that time, which could have caused a little stress and strain, but we don't hear about it from Jairus. There was no complaints about Jesus taking time for this woman, which we could have heard about, but he wasn't like that. He was interested in one thing, having Jesus come and heal his daughter. So some of the people, oh, Jesus, don't worry about it, she's dead, that's it, don't even worry about it. But he doesn't listen to them. Jesus never listened to anyone but God the Father, and he knew it was God the Father's will for him to go and heal her. So what happens? He goes and he gets there to the house in his contingent, and everybody's weeping and wailing because they thought the little girl had died. And maybe she had, maybe she didn't. But what happens is Jesus says, okay, why are you weeping? There's no need. Don't be afraid. She's just sleeping. It's all right. And they laughed at him. You know, they mocked him. They thought, you know, this, you're crazy. So he throws them all out of the house except for the mom and the dad and the few that were with him. And he, where is it? There it is. He holds her hand and he tells her, get up. And what happens? She gets up. Now what's particularly interesting to me, I think, is he tells them, of course, don't tell anybody, which he does a lot. But what's the last thing he says? Give her something to eat. All the lessons teach us we are to listen only to God. We are to have faith in Jesus Christ. We are to do as much as we can for him and have care. That's total care. He's trying to remind them, look, she needs food. She needs sustenance. Take care of her. Give her something to eat. And it's the same thing in 2 Corinthians. We are all to care for one another. That's what these lessons teach us. We are to have faith, and we are to have love, and we are to have care. Why? Because our Creator, our God, has loving kindness for us. His mercies are never ending, and they are new every morning. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we read through your lessons, help us to just continually read them, maybe every day. Learn from them, and then not to stop there, but to actually accomplish your love, to accomplish your forgiveness, and to accomplish your care with everyone we meet. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.